Welcome to Scripture Studies, a program of Bible study brought to you by the Central Church of Christ. And now, Ben Bailey.
Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, He who does not love father or mother or brother or sister, he does not love me more than father or mother or brother and sister, Jesus said, he's not worthy of me. And we could put in there wife or husband. If a person doesn't love God more than their family, then that person's not worthy of being a follower of Christ. And so God must always come first in the home. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, food, shelter, and clothing, will be added unto us. For the marriage to be a success in the home, we need to realize that the standard for living in the home must be God's Word. Friends, until we decide that each marriage is going to be guided by the marriage manual, God's Word, then marriage can never be a success. I love the words of Joshua in Joshua 24 and verse 15. This ought to be the motto for every home. Joshua said, the people said they were going different ways, and you know, Joshua said, you can serve the God of the Amorites, or you can do this or that. And he said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Friends, that needs to be the motto for each marriage today. We're going to let God be at the center of our home, and we're going to live our life. We're going to make our marriage right by living according to God's Word. This means that matters in the home must be decided by the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the husband's opinion is or what the wife's opinion is. What matters to make marriage a success is what does the Word of God say? In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 7, or Jeremiah 37 and verse 17, the question is asked, is there any word from the Lord? And friends, there is word on every subject from God today. We simply need to turn to His Word and do what it says. I love the example of Mary in John chapter 2 and verse 5. Mary said, as Jesus was about to turn the water into wine, she turned to the servants and said, whatever He, Jesus, says to you, do it. What a great motto for the home. When we decide on matters, when there's disagreement, when there's difference of opinions, on all matters, we need to let the Bible be our guide. In fact, husband and wife, you ought to help one another to live up to God's Word. Don't discourage one another. Don't look down on each other, but help one another. Live up to the Word of God. Help each other to grow spiritually in your knowledge of the Bible and the application to it in your life. And parents, you must make sure that your children are trying to live right according to the Bible. You have a divine command from God to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so God and the Bible must be center to our marriage. Another way in which your marriage can be successful is if you are really committed to one another. You know, when people make wedding vows, they often say, until death do us part. But often they don't mean that. Committed to each other, forsaking all others. That's the idea. We've got to be committed to stay with one another. See, Genesis 2:24 teaches us this idea. We need to be committed to leaving father and mother. Genesis 2:24, notice what this text is going to say. The Bible says in this passage, speaking about marriage, that God, He saw that it was not good to be man to be alone, and so He created him a helper. And in Genesis 2, verse 24, the Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Part of the commitment to marriage is the commitment to leave father and mother. The way father and mother did things in matters of option, matters of expediency. We're not talking about biblical matters, but in matters of option and expediency, what mom and dad did or did not do is not going to rule your marriage. You know, part of the problem in marriage is that one of the two mates can't let go of mom and dad. There isn't that leaving father and mother behind. There's the calling mom on the phone or calling dad on the phone to see what ought to be done, when in reality, husband and wives ought to work out their problems together. That's why God gave them each other. We need to be committed to permanency in marriage. You know, a lot of people say, until death do us part, but they really don't mean that. A lot of people say, I do, when in reality, in the back of their mind, there's a question mark, and they know that. We need to be committed to saying, this is permanent. This is my one chance to have a successful relationship in this life. You see, Malachi 2 verse 16 says this, God hates putting away, or God hates divorce. It's not something at all that God approves of. God intended one man and one woman for life. And anything contrary to that is against the will of God. Now, we do understand that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said, whoever divorces his wife except for fornication, porneia, sexual immorality, and marries another commits adultery. There is the exception of fornication for divorce, but it was never God's intention for that to be the case. God intended marriage to be permanent until death parts two people. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. And so say to yourself, when I do this, this is it. This is for life. I'm going to make it last regardless. We need to be committed to facing the problems of life together. You see, this is the idea of for better or for worse. There are going to be good days in marriage, but there are also going to be sad days. There are going to be difficult times. What separates a Christian's successful marriage from others is they're willing to stick together through the good and through the bad. Some people only want to stick together through the good. But we need to be committed to sticking together all the way through marriage, even through the difficult times. And you know what? If two people will stick together through the difficult times of their marriage, they'll find out that they're stronger on the other side, that they love and appreciate each other more, and that they've got a stronger desire to go to heaven more than anything else. Of course, in the marriage relationship, commitment means that we're willing to provide for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, if a man won't provide for his own house, he's considered an infidel. Proverbs 31 is an example of the noble woman, the virtuous woman who helped provide for her family. And so there's this commitment to each other in every area of life. And if you're really committed to making marriage work, it's going to be a success in many ways. But then I would say as well that for your marriage to be a success, you've got to be bound by love. The Song of Solomon says in chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, that love must be the center of all the marriage. Love is stronger than death. Its flames, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench it. The idea there is that love is strong. Love is what binds the marriage together. Do you really have that type of love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a type of love that puts others before yourself. A type of love that is sacrificial. Husbands, do you love your wives like Ephesians chapter 5 teaches us to love our wives as we love ourselves, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her? God did not set you up to be a dictator or a tyrant, but rather to be a leader in the home, to help your wife and your children get to heaven, and to love them. To love them just like you love yourself. That means that you will always look out for their best interest. You will always try to help them do what is most beneficial. You'll never do any harm to them. And wives, you need to love your husbands as well and be willing to submit to their authority and to their leadership. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we learn that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. In the divine arrangement, God set man up to be the leader in the home, the head of the home. And wives need to understand their place, that they are to submit to their husbands, children are to obey their parents, and that's what's going to make the home function as God wants it to. And so these are some principles which will help marriage to be successful. But I want us to think for just a moment about the subject of divorce and remarriage as well. Friends, we need to understand that the Bible has a lot to say about divorce. God never intended for divorce to be the case, but He did make arrangements because of fornication for the innocent party to divorce his mate and remarry. We're not talking about the guilty party. We're talking about the innocent party upon which the mate has committed adultery against them. Let's notice what the Bible says throughout concerning divorce. Let's turn our attention to a few passages. First of all, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Here is God's arrangement for the home. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they, the two, shall become one flesh. When God set up marriage, it was for man and woman to leave father and mother and to permanently, through this life, be joined together. That's God's original plan. You take the plan and that's it. One woman, one man, together for life. That's how God set it up. God never intended for divorce to be the case, but we know that it did become popular among God's people. Another passage that deals with divorce is Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. Notice what Moses gave commandment concerning about divorce. Moses said, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his sight because he has found some uncleanness in her. And he writes her a certificate of divorce, spits in her hand, and sends her out of his house when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. If the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies, who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. For, God says this, this is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And so God gave command to the people here, if some man finds an uncleanness. Many think that to be a sexual uncleanness. If the woman has not been sexually upright, if she has done things that are sexually impure against her husband, then he may write her a certificate of divorce. Again, I think this would go hand in hand with Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. And so Moses gave commandment. Moses allowed the people to do that during that time. But again, from the beginning, God has hated divorce.